You know, Tara came up and said she had a word that went right along with what Kia had spoken and what I was praying. Because how many believe that we're able? Right? All things are what? Possible. Right. For them that what?
Believe.
Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a believer. Right. So therefore, we know that you're able. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm able. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're able. The person behind you, we're all able. Now the issue is, you're able, and there's a crossover time to I will. And there's a big difference there. Because every one of us are able, amen? You just said it, and we know nobody lies in church. You just said, I'm able. You told your neighbor, you're able. Now the issue is, I will. I'm able and I will. See, and that's a huge step for some. That crossover time is a big step. Because once we say, I will, then there's no going back. Amen? And all we have to do is say, Father, I know you made me able, and I know you're the one that gave me the desire and the will and the ability to accomplish it all. The one decision I have to make is, I will. I will forgive everybody. Look at your neighbor, say, I forgive you. Husbands and wives, say it a couple of times. All right? I forgive you, Bren. And I forgive you, Bren. I had to say it a couple of times because I got to be obedient to what I asked everybody else to do. Right? I forgive you because that forgiveness sets people free. That forgiveness sets people free. If you've got anything in your heart, you're making a decision not to step into I will. Because His word is above ours. Amen? His word is above our purpose. His word is above our plan. His word is above the world. His word is from everlasting to everlasting. It never ceases. Never. And so we're going to have to line up with His will. And that means I will obey His will. I'll step over. I know we're all able. Everyone in here is able to preach the word of God in many different ways. Doesn't mean from the pulpit. That's not preaching for everyone. But every one of us have an ability to preach the word of God. And you see, when the word of God goes forth, then change comes in people's lives, doesn't it? What happened in your life? When the word of God came, change came into your life. Sometimes it was slow and you need to hear it a bunch of times. But eventually it came, right? Change finally came. Grandmothers prayed and they're in eternity before they saw the change in our lives, some of them. Because we're so quick to do what's best. And then moms and dads praying and waited and waited and waited and waited. But eventually that word changed our hearts. It always does. This week is about I will. I will obey the word. I will love my enemies. I will bless those who spitefully use me. I will give. I will love the unlovable. Man, how powerful is that? We were all unlovable at one time, right? And then God came and He swept us up. Because when you say, I will, people's lives are changed. That's what happens. Every time a man or a woman says, I know I'm able. He's made me able. I wasn't going here, Tara, but thanks for giving me a sermon. Because this is really what the issue is in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. Spattered and scattered, a few say, I will give Him my whole heart. Oh, we sing the songs. But I will lay down everything else and put Him first and foremost. And I'll take what I have to glorify Him. I will love my wife as Christ loved the church, or love my husband as Christ loved the church. I will take His word and share it with those who have never heard it. I will. A decision. We know we're able, and we can. And we have enough people in here to change Hudson within weeks. If we will. If we will step out in the power of God's love. Amen? So thanks, Tara. Tell your neighbor, say, I will. Tell your other neighbor, say, you will?
You will.
Yeah. Sometimes we need a little encouragement, don't we? Sometimes we need somebody else to say, hey, you can and you will. Don't we do that with our kids all the time? I remember, I don't know, it was Gavin or Landon standing on the end of the diving board over here at Hudson. We had a pool party. I said, you can jump off of there. And after about 20 minutes of treading water trying to get in the jump, I was running out of breath. I said, you will. And I yanked him down into the water. You know what I mean? So every once in a while, we need to encourage each other, right? You can and you will. When we used to have prayer here on Saturday nights, and we would pray from 6 to 7 and everybody be here, I have to walk around and tap people. As soon as that one's done, you're next. What? And people would just be paralyzed with fear. Why? Because I said, I know you're able, but will you? And they were, oh yeah, Pastor, I'll pray. Yep, I'll be there. They would pray. No words. After a couple weeks of that, I'm like, okay, you're next after him. You're next after her. You're next after him. And that's what I would do. I'd pray and just walk through the room. And they, you know, sometimes it was a very short prayer in the beginning, but eventually, because I knew everybody was able, amen? You're able. And you will. I don't want to have to yank you off the diving board. Some said, I will, and they're going to Guatemala. Some said, I will. I will take time away from my life. I will take my finances, and I will give it so that the people in Guatemala will hear the word of God. They will see the love of God in action. I will. And it's such a key for each one of our lives. So this week, I really want to encourage you. I'm able and I will. I'm able and I will. Every morning when you get up, I'm able and I will. I'm able and I will. That crossing over every morning when you get out. You're able to be nice, to be kind, to have encouraging words, to strengthen and to build, and you will. You're able not to be critical. You're able to encourage and not tear down. You're able to use some of your time just for His glory. Amen? And we will as the body of Christ. So, with that, I love it when God does stuff like that. And worship was just so rich this morning. It always is, but there's some times when it just settles everything down in your spirit. And it settles everything in your flesh and says, stop. This is where we're supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what gives me, or what my whole life is about now. Every Christian, every man, woman, and child in this house, what your life is about now is worshiping Him, is being in prayer, is studying His word, and then giving our lives for His glory. Amen? That's what our lives are about. We stepped out of that. And if your time is not giving to Him, and if you said, not right now, but I will, that's not a future statement, all right? We're not looking at next week, next month, next year. Oh, I'm able and I will as soon as. How many times do we do that, right? Yep, as soon as I get my house in order, I will go in the mission field. As soon as I pay off the credit cards, first thing you do is cut them up if you got a lot on there, amen? That's the first thing you do. The only way you're going to get rid of them is cut them up so you stop putting stuff on there if there's a problem with credit cards. Oh, I'll go in the mission field when I will in the future. But God said right now, I will. Your life is not your own. And we want to congratulate the Romanos today as they have finally stopped having to feed one of their sons. And now they've got Sam and Jen got married on Friday night. And they're off to Florida hanging out down there. And let the games begin, huh? Let the fun begin now with marriage. Yee-hoo! Yep, the dating and courting is over, baby. So they need your prayers. Please lift them up in prayer. So do the Romanos, right? Because you remember when that first one left, for those of you that are old enough. And it's a change and a transformation that even though they'll just be down the street from them, it's still a big change and a transfer of authority, because now he can only make suggestions. That'll be a struggle. And now we're going to watch another young man and a young woman venture out into the promise of God. Because when they put him first, you know what he said? I will make a way for you. I will. That's God's desire. Isn't that beautiful? And then we were at a wedding yesterday also. One of the Santos's girls got married. It was amazing how the food tasted similar. Because Larry did both of them. And it was delicious both days. And we had a wonderful time. So I just want to encourage each one of you. We're so glad that you're back. We're so glad that we're together. But if we come together constantly and we don't leave here and do the will of the Father, then we're limiting what he can do through us. Amen? And I don't want him limited in your lives. How many enjoyed Pastor Jack's word last week, right? On the love of God, the agape love. It's a powerful word. If you didn't get a chance to see it last week, please go back and watch last week's. Pastor Jack, I was in Iraq with him, Egypt, Lebanon, Israel. He's just a wonderful man of God, and he had a great word, I thought, for this time in this season, for our church, and not only for our church, but for many others. And, you know, as we walk out our lives, everything has to be done in love. We've done it in the past out of greed. We've done it out of anger. We've done it out of pride, right? All the things that we chased after, they were all done for one purpose, me. Now Jesus Christ comes in, and now it's about him. It's not about us being known. It's about him being known in all four corners of the world. He's not coming back until we preach it. Amen? And so our focus and our goal is to do everything that we do, we've got to do it in love. We can't do it with vengeance. We can't do it with anger. We can't do it with frustration. We can't do it by manipulation. All of these things that we tried earlier on, it didn't work. God said there's going to be one way that you do it. And in 1 Corinthians 16:14, he said, let all that you do be done in love. Just tell your neighbor, say, everything you do, let it be done in love. Okay. We need to be reminded of that. I mean, Pastor Jack spoke on it last week, and it wrecked me. Heard it a million times. We've read the love chapter many, many times. But it was just that, it was the heart of God that was speaking. Hang on a second, let's not get distracted. Everything has to be done from a heart of love and a spirit of love. The people that come here for the food pantry, they say we love coming to the food pantry because we feel loved and we feel respected. Everything has to be done with love. Every aspect of it. You know, he said, and one of the things Jack asked is your love real? Does everybody know what real love is? Oh yeah, we do, because we want it all the time, don't we? We want real love all the time. And we all know what fake love looks like. We all know what it feels like. We all know what fake love produces. Fake love produces manipulation, right? Fake love, when it comes in, we understand, wait a minute, I know that when times are tough, they're going to leave. That one's not going to stick around. I don't trust what's going to happen. So we know what love, what fake love produces. We're supposed to be the expression of what real love is. Why? Because we know the one that loves us. And he loved you in your ugliness and me in my ugliness. And he said, I'm here. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm here. Yeah, 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 for a long time. And he waited all of that time with all of the darkness, all of the foolishness, all the ugliness, all of the arrogance, all of the pride, all of the bondages, all the things that were going on in our lives. He waited and waited and waited, and his love just kept sending another and another and another until his love broke us down. And the scripture said, because of love, we repented because of his love. We turned away from darkness because of his great love. Everything you do and I do has to be seasoned with love. Everything. Look at last week. Just picture in your mind, and I guarantee you that every one of us has an area that we could work on. That maybe we failed in, maybe we didn't speak it just right. Maybe we were doing something wrong. Maybe we had the wrong motive. God is amazing at checking our motives. He's amazing at taking a look deep inside of us, and everybody else thinks we pulled it off. You think you pulled it off. But you knew your motive was just off. Because the Holy Spirit came and said, well, that was close. But I think we need a little bit better in that. Yeah, but they all thought so. And he says, yes, but that you won't stand before them. God's the one that checks our motives. God's the one that restores the soul. God's the one that will stand before one day. Amen? So everything in our lives, when we wake up in the morning, Father, let me do it through a spirit of love. Is your love real? Is it real toward yourself? One of the hardest things to do is to receive love from God. Isn't it? All the things that you've done, you usually qualify or disqualify yourself by what you've done and not by what he's done. And this is where we've got to get into the Word of God to agree with the Word of God that what he said is your truth and no longer your words. Because you're disqualifying yourself when you look in the mirror if you don't agree with the Word of God. What you do is you look and you see your faults and your weaknesses, but when you look in the mirror, you're going to have to agree with the Word of God and not disqualify yourself, because that's when the enemy wins. His Word rules and God's Word doesn't over our lives. God wants each and every one of us to understand his love has qualified you to be loved. Isn't that amazing? It has nothing to do with you. You didn't qualify yourself to be loved. He qualified you. All your works couldn't make him love you anymore or any less. But he qualified you to fill you with his love. Telling you more, the more I looked at it, the more I just sat there enjoying it. Because we know that God is love according to scriptures, and it's his very nature. You know, and so the question always is, which we've said many times, has God's nature conquered ours? Has God's nature, and we always know when God's nature hasn't conquered an area of our lives. Not only do we know, but everybody around us knows. There's areas that we have yet to conquer through God's love. There's areas that we have to constantly spend more time with him, because I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I get into play, I don't know how I got so far off. In way with conversation, a discussion, whatever it is, sometimes I get off. I don't know about you guys. Some of you do. I know you do, because I've been in them conversations with you. All right? Sit there. Yeah, I don't know, Pastor. That's your problem, Jack. How the heck did we get so far off? It was a good conversation. Even me and my bride, after 33 years, we'll sit there, started off really good, and all of a sudden one misunderstanding, and all of a sudden the whole thing goes sideways. And it's like, how in the world did we get here? And, you know, so, Brent, you need to just repent and apologize, and then we'll get back on track. And you all know that ain't true. But sometimes I can never, we didn't even know how we got there when we just look at each other. What in the world was that all about? I don't know. Why do we get on that road? I don't know. You want to keep doing it? I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, me neither. Let's stop doing this. And then we get back on track. And then it's the love of God that comes back in. But, you know, after 33 years, we still get sidetracked sometimes. And so I really believe that God wants to, he wants that nature that he has, that love, to conquer every area. There's things in our lives that we haven't submitted and surrendered because we love them more than we love the Word of God or the presence of God or the purpose of God. Now, we can color code, we can make it sound really pretty, but it's really ugly, because the areas that we have yet to surrender are the areas that we love more than what he said in his Word. Amen? There's things that we dream about, think about, plan, or even put our hands to, or stuff that we allow into our lives that God never wanted into our lives. He said, wait a minute, isn't my love enough? Isn't that forgiveness enough? Is the power of the blood enough? Look at that stuff, never fulfilled it, never did anything except destroy every area of your life. Are you ready to surrender that? Are you ready to say, I'm able, and now I will? I'll be accountable. How many people are petrified? Don't raise your hand. How many people are petrified of accountability? They don't want anybody knowing what's really going on. We stay aloof. We stay back. We hold back certain information. And we just keep everybody else at arm's length. We're good Christian people. We come to church on a Sunday. We keep everybody at arm's length. But the nature of God is to draw everyone in close to Him. Listen, when we walk in the love of God, it's easy to be transparent, open, and accountable. It's when we're trying to hide things that we struggle. And you know what? Sometimes the love of man has failed us. That's the wonderful thing about God. The love of God never fails us. The love of man will always fail at certain times and in certain ways, right? Some people don't love me enough to turn off their phones. But that's all right, you know why? 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first, the only way that you can love is if you know him. The only way you're going to walk in love is if you know he loved you first. Because if he is love, we tried to make up love. They wrote all kinds of songs, foolish songs about what love is. Can I tell you, the love of God, it doesn't hurt. The love of God always brings healing and health and strength. It doesn't hurt. The only thing that hurts is when we walk outside the love of God. We walk outside the Word of God. Then the justice of God is there, but it's still His love. It's just a decision that we haven't made. And in one of the statements that Pastor Jack made that I want you to think about this week. He said, your inactivity. And I can't tell you, most of the guys that I talked to after watching it, they all picked out the same exact line. Some of them wrote it down. Actually, Pastor Mike put it on there. We're praying for him. He's got a headache this morning. Pastor Mike put it online last week when Pastor Jack said it. He said, your inactivity or your pursuit makes all the difference. I'm able, I will. I'm able and I do nothing. That's your inactivity. And guess what you walk in? Not his will. And then you can't do anything, even though you're able. All power, all authority, sitting there in the body of Christ, and yet making a decision, my inactivity has made me ineffective, or my pursuit has made me complete and powerful. It's really that simple as we pursue the Word of God. And with that, I want you to think about that. What area of your life has there been inactivity when it comes to the things of God? I believe everybody in here has a call of God in their life. Amen? I believe everybody in here is a gift because you have a gift that's been deposited in you from God. And when we say, I'm able and I will use that gift that you have given me, Father, somebody's life is going to be changed this week. It's the way it works. Either inactivity or activity, one of the two. Inactivity or pursuit, that's what makes the difference. Let's pursue Him like we never have before this week. This is Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit poured out all power from the King of Glory. Fully, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it was over. Everything Joel prophesied about, it was coming to completion on this day. So we have no reason not to walk in the fullness of God. Because the full power of God is put on display in the lives of men and women who receive Him as their Lord and Savior. Amen? None. Today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am able and I will. I'm able and I will. Amen?